ఆచార్యాంస్తన్ దిలేగ్నౌ వా సూర్యే వప్సు హృది ద్విజః ద్రవేణ భక్తియుక్తోర్చేత్ స్వగురుం మాం అమాయయా అర్చాయాం స్థాండిలేగ్నౌ వా సూర్యే వాప్సు హృది ద్విజః ద్రవ్యేణ భక్తియుక్తోర్చేత్ స్వగురుం మాం అమాయయా అక్షయాం సండిలేగ్నౌ వా సూర్యే వాప్సు హృది ద్విజః ద్రవ్యేణ భక్తియుక్తోర్చేత్ స్వగురుం మాం అమాయయా అర్చయాం విత్ ఇన్ ద డిటి ఫామ్ స్తన్ డిలే ఇన్ ద ఎర్త్ అగ్నౌ ఇన్ ఫైర్ వా ఓర్ సూర్యే ఇన్ ద సన్ వా ఓర్ అప్సు ఇన్ వాటర్ హృది ఇన్ ద హార్ట్ ద్విజః ద బ్రాహ్మణ ద్రవ్యేణ by various paraphernalia bhakti yuktah endowed with devotion archet he should worship swagurum his worshipable lord mam me amaya without any deception translation a twice born person should worship me his worshipable lord without duplicity, offering appropriate paraphernalia in loving devotion to me, to my deity form, or to a form of me appearing upon the ground, in fire, in the sun, in water, or within the worshipper's own heart. So there is no purport to this, so we'll keep reading. పూర్వం స్నానం ప్రకూర్విత ధాదో దందోంగ శుద్ధయే ఉభయేర్ అపి చ స్నానం మంత్రై మృత్ గ్రహాణదినా సంధ్యోపాస్త్యాది కర్మాణి వేదానా చోదిదిమే పూచనం తై కల్పయేత్ సమ్యక్ సంకల్ప కర్మ పావనీం. One should worship, purify his body by cleansing his teeth and bathing. Then one should perform a second cleansing by smearing the body with earth and chanting both Vedic and Tantric mantras. Fixing the mind on me, one should worship me by his various prescribed duties, such as chanting the Gayatri mantra at the three injunctions of the day. Such performances are enjoined by the Vedas and purify the worshipper of reaction to fruitive activities. Shaili daru mai lauhi lepya lekhya cha saikati mano mai mani mai pratimashta vitha smrta. The deity form of the Lord is said to appear in 8 varieties: stone, wood, metal, earth, paint, sand, the mind or jewels. So here is a purport by servants of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that certain deity forms, such as those made of sand, are manifested for a brief time to fulfill a personal desire of the worshipper. Those, however, who desire to attain pure love of God should worship the permanent form of the deity, made of, for instance, of marble, gold or brass. And they should maintain continual worship. In Krishna consciousness, there is no scope for neglecting the worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Om Agyanata Virandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Abhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rakunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishnapadan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karana Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpada Rupyasya Kripa Sindhubhyo Vacha Palitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So here is a very wonderful description regarding the process of deity worship. As we can see, one of the primary activities, what's going on here, is the process of deity worship. All the activities here are centered around the deities. Whatever it is. Devotees are making garland, devotees are making giviks, devotees are performing arati, distributing books, preaching, recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam. Everything is centered around the deities. So deity worship has such an important role in our day-to-day life, in our devotional life. We can see in Nectar Devotion, among 64 items of devotion service, many are towards, it is centered around deity worship. And when we see the aparats, the offenses that have to be avoided in the 8th chapter of Nectar Devotion, again we can see most of them are seva aparats. So our process of devotion service is primarily centered around deity worship. As you know, there are two paths in our devotion service. One path is the process of Pancharatrika Vidhi and the other one is the process of Bhagavad Vidhi. So Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnosmaranam, first three limbs of nine processes of devotion service fall into the category of Bhagavad Vidhi. That is coming from Srimad Bhagavatam. And the primarily process of deity worship is coming under the Pancharatri Vidhi. So one may ask, why these two vidhis are required? Why these two injunctions are required? So we can understand, especially in this age of Kali, we actually only need the Bhagavad Vidhi or the chanting and hearing. The Yuga Dharma is Sankirtan. Then one could ask, why still we have the process of deity worship? The sole reason is Srila Prabhupada introduced the process of deity worship because we are not actually pure enough to sit and chant the holy name of the Lord all the time. So we need practical engagement which can be provided by the worship of deity. So there is prasadam distribution, there is cross-wise, there is book distribution, the marathon is going to come, so we have a nice opportunity to preach the glories of the Lord in the form of Srila Prabhupada's books. So we need activities to purify ourselves. One time, one devotee went and approached Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur and he said, I want to actually do bhajan all the time. I don't want to associate with any devotees. And devotees are asking me for service. And of course, when we talk about service, we have to understand it is connected to the deities. So he said, I am disturbed by these things so that my bhajan is affected because of the service. So this devotee told Prabhupada and he actually left the temple and he started living somewhere in Mayapur. And the whole aim was to perform bhajan, chanting of Hare Krishna all the time. Then Prabhupada actually told, when he is elevated enough
he will come back and he will start associating with the devotees. Now he is in a neophyte form, so he is completely performing bhajan. He is not like Goswamis, who themselves, they are elevated souls, they are pure devotees. Still, along with their bhajan, they were actually performing deity worship. Which and? Radha Govind. You know, Sri Rupa Goswami Pranathan Hai. So it is the Pranathan, the life and soul of Srila Rupa Goswami. Radha Damodar, this month is known for Damodar Leela. Radha Damodar is the worshipable deity of Srila Jiva Goswami. So when we go to Radha Damodar Mandra, we can see actually many deities. It's not just Radha Damodar, we can see the deity of Jayadeva Goswami, we can see the deity of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, we can see the deity of Bhugarbha Goswami. So a series of deities are there. And of course there is the bhajan kutir of Srila Prabhupada as well. So even when Srila Prabhupada was performing bhajan, he was still planning his preaching program. He was writing books. He was translating Srimad Bhagavatam to English. He was referring all the commentaries of various acharyas. So even in bhajan, Srila Prabhupada was concerned regarding other people. He was performing the process of preaching in the form of writing books. That's what even Srila Rupa Goswami did. Because he was completely worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead all the time in the form of chanting. At the same time, he was writing so many books. Same with Srila Sanatan Goswami. Same with Raghunath Das Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So many books they have written in the purpose of preaching. So Srila Prabhupada mentioned, yes, one should have the deity worship, one should have the Pancharatrika Vithi as well as Bhagavad Vithi. Because without chanting of Hare Krishna, we cannot support our Pancharatra process. So when we come into devotion service, we come as, you know, just attracted by something in devotion service. It could be a little bit of association of the devotees, it could be prasadam, nice halwa, or deities. There should be some attraction to come and associate with the devotees and to take up the process of devotion service. And so far, before coming to the devotion service, we were completely satisfied or trying to be satisfied in the maya, in the trigonamayi, in the maya. And when we come to devotional service, we actually understand the extent of suffering we had. And then we try to apply the process of devotional service and we try to see two kinds of relief. One kind of relief is, okay, we are out of the material suffering. And second is some happiness in devotional service. Then, in practicing for some time, the senses are pulling in so many different directions, but at one point, senses becomes a little bit steady. And we start to chant Hare Krishna with a little bit of attentiveness. Then, by the mercy of Krishna and the mercy of the devotees, actually we get in touch with a spiritual master, a bona fide spiritual master. And it is said, that is the process of bhajana kriya. Bhajana kriya actually starts from when we really get initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. Bhajana kriya means, actually, in a formal worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of chanting, hearing, associating with the devotees. That becomes official, bhajana kriya becomes actually official when we actually initiated by a bona fide spiritual master. Still we know the senses are violent. Senses wants to go in all different directions. That's the reason in the Harinam initiation, one is we promise that okay, we chant at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. And in the form of controlling our senses, we follow four regulative principles. No meat eating, no gambling, no intoxication, no illicit sex. So that this is basically to control the senses. And externally controlling the senses are relatively easy. One can say, okay, now onwards I won't do. There is some amount of easiness in that. However, when you focus on internals, that becomes very difficult. Internally, we shouldn't enjoy anything material. We should offer everything to Krishna. We should see everything in service of Krishna. How difficult it is. It is difficult. Grossly controlling the senses could be easier, but when it comes to the subtle aspect, it becomes difficult. Because the mind is agitating, mind is moving all the time. Even Arjuna said in the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Chanchalam hi manah Krishna pramadhi balavadridham. Tasyaham nigraham manye vayo iva sudushkaram. Oh, so difficult to control. It is obstinate. It is just pushing me, pulling me all the time. And interesting enough, Krishna agreed to that. Krishna didn't say, oh, you are a fool. That's the reason you are speaking like this. No, Krishna said, yeah, asamshayam mahabaho. Asamshayam means without any doubt. What you are saying is true. But Krishna gives a solution, that is abhyasenacha vairagyanacha. Okay, by practice and detachment, one can control the senses, control the mind. Now, when we actually try to control the mind and the senses with a higher taste of devotional service and practically restraining our senses and the mind from sensory activities, we are actually approaching to the stage of Brahmanical initiation. That is the stage one has to become a little bit steady. Yesterday, Gangeshwar Prabhu was mentioning around 60-70% purity, 60%, you know, senses are not so agitated with different kinds of thoughts that are coming to our mind. It is not impeding our process of devotional service. Then, when one is almost stable, a little bit stable, that is fixed up, then one is actually approaching the stage of Brahmanical initiation, the second initiation. And in second initiation, one is awarded with the mantras, which are known as Gayatri mantras. So, this actually helps. So here, in one of the verses it is mentioned, in three injunctions of the day, one should chant the Gayatri mantras. That is important. And Gayatri mantras, okay, it is worshipping, chanting that is worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at the same time, these mantras are used in deity worship. Also, these mantras, chanting, helps in chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which is the primary activity, the primary process of devotional service in this age. So, Gayatri mantra has significance in different ways. And when we practice devotional service, deity worship, and you know, all the other items of devotional service which are connected to deity worship, the senses can go, try to go in different directions. But one has to be very determined to control them. We have to understand, even materialists are determined in controlling their senses. Otherwise, there is no point of material success. The famous example we can see is that of Hiranyakashipu. He was controlling the senses. He was such a big demon. But he was controlling the senses and he was standing on one leg and two hands upright and he was meditating. And that too for how many years? 60,000 years. Such a long time. So we had to see how much determined he was in attaining material achievements to become immortal, first of all. And he was performing so much of austerity. Now also if you go out, I'm not talking about devotees, but if you go out, we can see, go morning to, you know, connex train. We can see people are still, you know, one hand up, you know, 100 people in the train, they are also, you know, struggling. And even while one hand is up, some of them are actually trying to solve the crossroads, crosswords, you know, The whole thing is going on. So people are determined. People are performing austerities and they are determined in their sense control. So they have some sense control to fulfill their material desires in the mode of passion. But for us, that's not the case. We have to have something else. We have to restrain the senses and we have to engage in devotional service. So Srila Sanatan Goswami describes the process of initiation as a complete transformation. So it's very important to understand. It's a transformation. He compares it to some metal, that is a bell metal which is mixed with mercury is transformed to gold. A person, even though not gold and pure, can be transformed into a brahmana or dvija simply by the initiation process. So it's a huge transformation is expected in the process of initiation, or it has to be at least the beginning of transformation. One should actually do devotional service such that one can actually get purified. So this is not talking about the Brahmanical initiation from, you know, the so-called the Hindu families, the Brahmin families, where they get a thread without much of qualification, just by being born in one caste and having a certain age. We can see in the previous verse, the verse 7, 8, it is mentioned for Brahmana certain age to get Brahmin thread, which is called Upanayana, and the Kshatriyas some other age, for Vaishya some other age. Shudras are not really get initiated. So, we are not talking about that kind of initiation. That is just a matter of, you know, it's just a ritual. It's just a ritual to show off. As it is mentioned in the 12th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, that In Kali Yuga, a Brahminical qualification is determined by the thread. That's the qualification of a Brahmana. Oh, I am a Brahmana because I can pull and I can show my thread. That's all. Even if you visit temples in India, you can see such kind of discrimination. That is Brahminical status based on thread. If you were one time, I went with my dad to one temple and he had thread and I didn't have thread. And he said, you know, we went together. So at one place, my dad paid obeisances and I went to pay obeisances. He said, no, you cannot pay obeisances. He said, because you don't have a thread. I said, you know, he's my dad. If he can do, why can't I? He said, no, you are not allowed. That's what it is. And another time it was strange, even our own, you know, family temple is there. So I went there and I didn't have a thread, obviously. And they started arguing, you know, few people cornered me, actually few ladies, elderly ladies, two or three of them, they cornered me in one corner and asked, who are you? Where are you from? Who is your mother? Who is your father? Why are you here? I said, look, I am such and such. And he said, oh, look, you are not, then they said, oh, yeah, that's right, but why you don't have a thread? I said, I am not qualified. Then they said, no, you are qualified. Because, you know, the age, that matters. If you have certain age, then you are qualified. It is not guna and karma, as Bhagavad Gita says. Guna, karma, vibhagasya. That is a qualification. Quality and activities. So they are working in all sort of, all different kinds of job. You know, working in a bank, working in IT, or working in some, you know, municipality, or in panchayat, or corporation. You know, some kind of job. And, you know, they have nothing to do with devotional service whatsoever. And still they claim to be brahmanas. So this is the Brahminical status in India. And rest of the world, there is not such class of Brahman as such, strictly speaking. Even though we could say philosophers and scientists are sort of Brahminical. That is, out of mercy that statement is made. They are not actually Brahmanas. They are not actually Brahmanas because, you know, they don't have the Brahminical qualities, the six qualities. They don't have actually. But still, it is mentioned sort of. They are sort of Brahminical because they are not physically active, but they are on the mental platform. They can philosophize and they can do things in that way. So, okay, accepted in that sense. That's all. So, Srila Prabhupada, he traveled around the world actually to develop a Brahminical class because he wanted leaders for the society. And if Brahmanas are generated in the world, and naturally they can bring Kshatriyas, they can guide Vaishyas, they can guide Shudras. So if Brahminical class is established, then all other class can be established subsequently. So that is the possibility. So we are actually completely indebted to Srila Prabhupada to have the deity and to have a Brahminical class. Otherwise there is no question of Brahminical class in this world as such. And when we refer back, even we had to acknowledge the contribution of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Because by his mercy, he actually established the initiation of non-Brahmanas, the non-seminal Brahmanas, into the class of Brahmanas. So one time, the past time we were discussing the other day, one time, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he was very sick. And he was invited for a conference. And this conference was deciding whether the Brahmanas, who are not from the Brahmana families, but they were initiated according to the Pancharatrika process, whether they can worship Saligram Shila. So according to the Smartas, who just follow rules and regulations for the sake of rules and regulation, ritualistic Brahmanas, they denied. They said, these people, even though they are initiated, still they cannot worship Saligram Shila. That was the condition number one. Second was, even though a pure devotee is being generated from non-Brahmana class, still he cannot be an Acharya, in this lifetime at least. So these were the two conditions of Smartas. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur was invited for a conference to address this issue. And it was a big conference and the pundits from all over the world, all over India, assembled in Navadvip. The same time Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he was sick and he was lamenting. Who would actually go? Because we have nobody to go. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he came and he said, I will go. And actually he read a big document, an essay called Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. And in this essay had two parts. One was describing Brahmanism and the second one Vaishnavism. He read the essays to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur was so satisfied, and he said, "You are truly Saraswati. You are truly Saraswati." Saraswati means the goddess of learning. So he was very happy. And Bhaktisiddhanta, along with some other, you know, entourage, they went to Navadvip to present the case in front of all the pandits from India. So Bhaktisiddhanta was given the first opportunity to speak. So his lecture was two-sided. One was glorifying Brahmanas. So he initially glorified Brahmanas like anything. And the pandits were so happy, and the smartas were so happy to hear the glorification of Brahmanas, because even they have never heard such words as glorifying Brahmanas. And they applauded. And after they were satisfied, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he started glorifying Vaishnavas, and he actually described the difference between Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. He explained that Vaishnava is superior to Brahmana, and Vaishnava is automatically a Brahmana. As we were discussing last lecture, they already possesses the qualities of Brahmana. So they don't have to have any separate endeavor to be a Brahmana. Being a devotee, one automatically becomes Brahmana. So he established this fact, and the conference went on for 3 days. And initially they started arguing different arguments against this. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, without any difficulty, defeated all these arguments. And last 2 hours of the 3 days, he gave the final speech. And the whole devotees assembled there. They were so happy. And actually the crowd became violent. And they were violent for one reason. Because they wanted the dust from the lotus feet of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And they were pretty much attacking. Then the police came, and they took Bhaktisiddhanta to a room, and forcefully he took dust from his feet by washing his feet. And they had a few buckets of water, and they actually gave that water to all the people, and they were all very happy. So it was mentioned, Bhaktisiddhanta was very reluctant, and the police had to apply force to wash his feet. And the whole crowd was completely satisfied. So the caste Goswamis, they were completely devastated, you know. They had no arguments left. And that's the reason Srila Prabhupada very forcefully, with emphatically continue the tradition of initiating anyone to Vaishnavism, and then to Brahmanism, that is giving the Brahman thread. Even though qualification, actually before Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the Vaishnavas never used to wear thread. They used to have the Babaji renunciation, and they didn't actually consider for Brahmin thread. But Bhaktisiddhanta said, since you are already Vaishnavas, you can have the thread. There is no question of having a separate qualification. So actually Bhaktisiddhanta started giving Brahmin thread to devotees, from all different castes, doesn't matter. So when we speak about Gayatri Mantra, it is very significant, and we can see that Gayatri Mantra has different parts. So usually when we speak about Gayatri Mantra, people speak about Brahma Gayatri. But when we speak about Vaishnava Gayatri, it has many parts. It has, Brahma Gayatri is part of it, but apart from that there is Gaura, there is for Guru, and there is for Radha and Krishna. So it is like, it is more complete. So Vaishnava Gayatri is more complete than Brahma Gayatri. That's the reason it has many mantras in it. So one time, it has the Vaishnava Gayatri has Gaura Mantra. Since it has Gaura Mantra, the Smarthas again came up with another argument in 1911. It was again strong argument. They denied the eternal form, the eternal name, and eternal pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They said the Gaura Mantra cannot be accepted as an eternal mantra, and the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu cannot be accepted as an eternal form. Only we can accept the form of the Lord as a temporary form, just played as a devotee. So this was a big argument, and it's a great offense. Actually, there are a lot of evidences proving that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has an eternal form. The evidences are given enough in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The evidences are given in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Evidences are given in the personal experiences of so many devotees. In terms of Mahaprakash Leela in Chaitanya Charitamrita, because the Lord Himself revealed His form to all the devotees, all His associates. To Haridas Thakur, to Kulavecha Sridhar, to Dukhi, the maid servant of Srivas Thakur, to Srivas Thakur. So all the devotees, he actually showed his eternal form and he revealed his identity. And to Sarvabhama Bhattacharya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his Shadbhuj form. His form as Lord Krishna playing upon the flute, Lord Ramachandra with bow and arrow, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the sannyasi form with danda and kamandalu. So he showed his Shadbhuj, his six armed forms. Also he showed his Radha Krishna form to Ramananda Roy. So there are enough evidences proving the eternal form and pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Still Smartas denied that form. So again, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had to quote from Smriti, from the Shrutis, from the Atharva Veda, where it is known as Chaitanya Upanishad, where it is specifically mentioned that the Lord appears in Navadvip, who is his mother, who is his father, what will be his activities. He quoted the self-same verse, which actually from Shrutis. Because the people only accept Shrutis. Some of the Pandits, they accept only Shrutis. They don't accept Bhagavatam. They don't accept Puranas. So he had to present all these evidences and he proved. And he gave a big talk in Navadvip. And it was mentioned that Srila Gaurakishore Das Babaji Maharaj, he was personally present when Bhaktisiddhanta was speaking. And he hid himself behind the crowd at the corner to hear Maharaj's lecture. And he was so happy to hear Bhaktisiddhanta, who is his disciple, speaking. And he blessed him in all different ways. So that was the humility of Gaurakishore Das Babaji. And we can see Bhaktisiddhanta, how strongly he defeated this kind of arguments. It is mentioned, there is a small passage from Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is speaking about his Guru Maharaj. My Guru Maharaj's contribution is that he defeated the caste Goswamis. He defeated this Brahmanism. He did it in the same way as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Kiba vipra kiba nyasi shudra kenanai, ek krishna datta veti se guru hoy. There is no consideration whether one is a sannyasi, a brahmana, a shudra or a grihastha. No. Anyone who knows the science of Krishna, he is alright. He is Goswami and he is brahmana. This way, my Guru Maharaj's contribution. And for this reason, he had to face so many vehement protests from the brahmanas of caste Goswamis. Once they conspired to kill him, my Guru Maharaj told me personally. By his grace, when we used to meet alone, he used to talk about so many things. He was so kind that he used to talk with me, and he personally told me that these people, they wanted to kill me. They collected 25,000 rupees. It's a huge money that time. For, 40, 50 years back, 25,000 rupees. And went to bribe the police officer in charge of the area, saying, you take this 25,000 rupees, we shall do something against Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and you don't take any steps. He could understand that they wanted to kill him. So the police officer frankly came to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Of course, we accept bribes, and we indulge in all such things, but not for a sadhu. Not for a saintly person, I cannot dare. So the police officer refused and said to my Guru Maharaj, you take care, this is the position. This was because he was vehemently protested. When my Guru Maharaj was present, even big scholars were afraid to talk with even his beginning students. My Guru Maharaj was called the living encyclopedia. He could talk with anyone on any subject. He was so learned and no compromise. So-called saints, avatars, yogis, everyone who was false was an enemy to my Guru Maharaj. He never compromised. Some of my god brothers complained that this preaching was a chopping technique and it would not be successful. But those who criticized him fell down. Very important. We shouldn't criticize, or we shouldn't even think in that way. Even very senior devotees, even they preach, we may think, that could happen, I could do better, or, that's not the right way. I have seen devotees, maybe some Maharaj, very senior devotees, they may be dealing with people, new people, maybe, very heavily, and some people comment, this is not right. It's not the right way to do it. Actually, if they do that, definitely they will have sinful desires in the heart. Krishna will actually remove the plant of devotional service and he will plant the seed of sinful desires within the heart. So yeah, one has to be very, very careful. One shouldn't criticize. And here we can see those who criticized Bhaktisiddhanta, they fell down. Even his own god brothers, so his own disciples. It's very important. And when we consider what is the origin of Gayatri Mantra that we chant all three times, the Brahma Gayatri is actually coming from the Lord himself in the form of the vibration of his flute. So when the Lord vibrated his flute, this sound vibration went into the ears of Lord Brahma. And how many ears he has got? Eight. So it went through the 8 ears and he came out from his mouth as the Gayatri Mantra. And from that, Omkar came, as well as the Gayatri Mantra came, and then from that all the Vedic knowledge emanated. So the Lord, the Om, it is said the Lord is Nadanta. So the different parts of the Omkar represents the living entity, Radha and Krishna. So it is mentioned the the nasal vibration, Om, that is actually Krishna. The Pranava, it is said in Bhagavad Gita, Pranava Sarva Vedeshu. So Pranava is representing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and particularly the Nadanta, the sound, is actually referring to Krishna. So Krishna is actually known as Nadanta, the end of the Pranava. And the Kama Gayatri, that is part of the Gayatri, the Vaishnava Gayatri, which is actually glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Kamadev, in the form of Transcendental Cupid. So it is mentioned, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is identical with the Vedic hymn known as the Kama Gayatri, which is composed of 24.5 syllables. Those syllables are compared to the moons that arise in Krishna. Thus, all three words are filled with desires. So, the Kama Gayatri, the 24.5 syllables, are compared to moons on the body of Krishna. So that is one of the great meditation one can have while chanting Kama Gayatri. So it is mentioned the nails, each nail of the Lord is just like moon. And the toenails are also compared to moon. So that comes to 10 plus 10, 20 moons on the body of the Lord. And his face is compared to a full moon. So that is 21. And his two cheeks are compared to two moons. So 23. And, sorry, 24? 23? Really? And there is one half moon. What is that? That is his? No, smile is not half moon. So the forehead is compared to half moon. And his smile is full moon, I think. So it's all together, it is 24.5 moons. That is the body of the Supreme Lord. So Kama Gayatri, Vaishnava Gayatri, is nothing but it's actually showing the Supreme Personality of Godhead in its all attractive form, having 24.5 moons. So here it's mentioned, Krishna has two cheeks which shine like glowing gems, be considered as full moons. So his forehead is half moon. And one more moon is it's not the smile actually, it is given the spot of sandalwood, there is considered as a full moon. So the tilak, the spot of sandalwood, that is considered as full moon. So that's how it is 24.5 moons. So it is mentioned, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in Chaitanya Charitamrita it is mentioned, it has 24 and the Kama Gayatri has 24.5 syllables. And one time, Srila Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur, he was actually writing a commentary, an explanation on this Kama Gayatri. And the book is known as Mantrartha Deepika. So when he was writing this book, he was actually analyzing the number of letters, the syllables in this mantra. So he did all the calculations and he could calculate that there are 25 syllables. So this was a confusing thing. Because Kaviraj Goswami mentions in Chaitanya Charitamrita that it's only 24.5 syllables, and Vishwanatha Chakrabarti Thakur, he's always checking and he's finding there are 25 syllables. So he checked different grammar books in Sanskrit to find out how it is possible there are only 24.5. He did everything but he couldn't find, and he was perplexed. And if he can't actually explain this, in one sense he's actually deviating from previous acharyas. So he was completely bewildered to see that there is one half extra syllable in the mantra. And he actually took a vow that, you know, he will not eat anything. And he, until he find what's the real reason behind this half syllable. And he was actually fasting and he was meditating. And he actually fell asleep. And in the sleep, a dream came. And in that dream, Srimati Radharani herself came. And Radharani said, "Oh Vishwanath, please don't lament anymore. What Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote is true. He is also my confidential maid servant. And he knows everything about my most secret innermost moods. This Kamagayatri is the mantra for worshipping me. Indeed, I can be known by the syllables of this mantra. Without my mercy, no one can learn anything about the mystery of this mantra." So he gave, the Radharani gave the understanding. Then he even quoted which grammar book he has to refer. So he said, "The solution of the half syllable is found in the book Varnagama Bhaswati. Seeing this book, Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote as he did. The letter Ya, which follows by the letter V, it has to be considered as half syllable. So in Gayatri there is Ya followed by V. In the end of one word is Ya and the beginning of other word is V. So that Ya has to be considered as half a syllable. So that was the explanation given. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur became completely ecstatic to know what's the real meaning behind that, and also he got the personal darshan of Radharani in the dream. And it is mentioned after that all his writings was very intimate because he understood his eternal position and he had darshan of Srimati Radharani. So that is the meaning of, you know, the understanding of Kama Gayatri, and it is further explained in Mantrartha Deepika. So it is said, okay, we are actually studying Srimad Bhagavatam, and many are not actually initiated, second initiation is not given. You know, we also come to second initiation after some time. And even after second initiation, we had to actually understand the meaning of Gayatri Mantras. So actually how can we understand the meaning? So there is a solution to that. How can everyone understand the meaning of Gayatri Mantra? So the answer is, it is given, there is a very nice verse from Garuda Purana. It is mentioned, it is talking about Srimad Bhagavatam. So it is said, "Arthoyam Brahmasurtharanam Bharatartha Vinirmayam Gayatri Pasirubhoso Vedartha Paribrahmitam." So it is actually glorifying Srimad Bhagavatam. It is said, this Srimad Bhagavatam, it is actually Brahma Sutranam. It gives the commentary to Brahma Sutras, the Vedanta Sutras. Then also it explains the real meaning of Bharata, that is Mahabharata. Not only that, it actually gives full explanation of Gayatri Mantra and Vedartha Paribrahmitam, and also gives a complete conclusion and complete essence of Vedas. So we can actually understand the whole Gayatri, even if we know the Gayatri Mantra, we have to actually understand the meaning and we have to come to the realization of the meaning. For that, one has to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So one doesn't have to think that initially, okay, I don't know, I am not initiated, so how will I know the meaning of Gayatri Mantra? Actually, if we study Srimad Bhagavatam, the meaning will be revealed. Because Gayatri is ultimately to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that explanation is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. So when Acharyas explain Gayatri Mantra, they are actually quoting verses from Srimad Bhagavatam. So explanation of Gayatri Mantra is Srimad Bhagavatam. So that is the position of Srimad Bhagavatam. So to come to the platform of Brahmanical initiation and to have a Brahmanical qualification, one has to study Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Sanatan Goswami quotes a very wonderful, he compiled a very wonderful verse. It is said, "Asahu sathuta dayinna ati neetocha taraka haana municha kadachin ma premna srit kanthayo spruhu." O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please do not ever leave me. Please become manifest upon my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So this is the meaning, this is the position of Srimad Bhagavatam, which can cause the complete transformation, Janataka Viplavo. It can actually bring an end to the sinful life and make one saintly. So I conclude here and See, is there any comments or questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Granthashrimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.